no turning back for me, and I hope that there's no turning back for you. I appreciate Southwest Radio Ministry and the stand that they've taken over the years on many things that got them kicked off the airwaves. Pastor Hutchings took a stand in his church years ago against the purpose-driven church movement. And this church pastor, as a new pastor, said, well, why don't you just leave then? So he left. And there were radio stations. He told me that anytime they dealt with the subject of the purpose-driven life or purpose-driven church or Rick Warren or anything like that, they wouldn't run the programs. So I appreciate him taking the stand on that, the Word of God, and the many things that this ministry has stood for. Tonight, I don't want to seem like a know-it-all. I know it all. I just don't want to seem like it. So I'm going to try to be humble. Matthew 13, verse 37. This is the parable of the wheat and the tares. In fact, Matthew 13, there's a beautiful chapter. I'm going to teach you a little bit about DNA tonight. I'm going to have to in order to tell you what the secret is. And in Matthew 13, there are several references to seed. And I want you to think about what seed is in the Bible. Number one, seed is what? According to the parables, according to Jesus, what is seed? The Word of God. What else is seed? What we know now that every seed contains?
Information.
What? DNA. Every living being that God created has seed. And it has DNA in it. And DNA, I'm going to show you, is a book that God wrote. Everything we know about DNA is about 70 years old. Most of what we know about DNA is 25 years old. And most of that has been learned over the past 10 years. We're just learning more and more about DNA. A few years ago, they learned how to read the human genome. Yeah. How did they learn how to read the human genome? It's because it was written like a book. There are even periods at the end of genetic sentences called stop codons. So a geneticist knows where one gene stops and another gene starts, just like you know where one verse stops and another verse starts in your Bible. That's the way DNA was put together. No, it didn't happen by accident. It's not possible. If you took a typewriter, threw out 13 billion pieces of paper out in the front yard of this church, and waited 50 million years, would you have a book? No, it's ridiculous. But that's what they say, how DNA formed. All by accident, all written in book form. So think about that when we read this verse. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. What's the good seed? The Word of God. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. So we know who the tares are, right? Some people say, well, the tares are the sons of Cain, or the tares are the giants, or the tares are black people, or the tares are the people who say they're Jews, but they're fake Jews, and we're the real Jews because we're white Caucasians. There's all kinds of stupid ideas out there about what the tares are, but the Bible plainly tells you here, it's every lost person.
Yeah, right.
It's the people who have the prince of the power, the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience in them. All things that offend of them which do iniquity, which used to be us, but now God has sowed what in us?
Good seed.
Good seed, amen? And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
By the way, the sweat. Somebody asked me, were you struck by lightning? I would die if I was. April 1st, 2006, I was working under my house. And the main electrical line going into the house, I was on a bed of electricity and I didn't know it. And my shoulder made contact with the metal frame of the house and I closed the circuit for a minute. And I knew I was going to die. I knew it. I wasn't breathing. I couldn't see anything. I heard this buzz in my ear and I couldn't move. For a minute, that's an eternity. And And I said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And just before I was ready to pass out, I said in my heart, you can pray in your heart, amen. God, I'm not ready to leave my wife and kids. And I let go just like that. And my son had to call the grandfather, lived next door. They had to call the fire department to pull me out because I didn't know what I touched. And by the time the fire department got there, I couldn't move. And so it's done horrendous damage to my nerves. I'm freezing cold right here and sweating, but I'm like 150 degrees from here up, and it's all the time. So if I don't sweat, I'll explode. You don't want to see that. So. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. I want you to pay attention to that. Who's the sun, by the way? Jesus is the sun of righteousness arising. He's the bridegroom. The sun in Psalm 19, he's the bridegroom coming out of his chamber. In Psalm 19, he's the sun. Do you have ears to hear? Let him hear. Now, these are the words that Satan said. Satan is the enemy. He's the one that sowed the tares. These are the tares that he sowed, because seed is words. Right? And so Satan said these words. Number one, yea, hath God said. Did God really say that? Was it you that said? Most people, a lot of American Christians, don't believe half of what's in their Bible. A lot of pastors don't either. They don't even preach the Bible anymore. They preach around it, preach stories from it, but they won't read it. So yea, hath God said has had an effect in the American churches, has it not? Then he said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Then he said, ye shall not surely die. That's a direct contradiction to what God said. God said, ye shall surely die. Satan said, ye shall not surely die. So right here, Satan is promising to Eve, or to mankind, immortality. If we disobey God, think about what he's saying here. If you disobey God, you will receive immortality. Then he said, for God doth know. Now we have introduced to the world's first mystery religion. The first mystery doctrine. Because Satan is saying, God had given clear commandments in Genesis chapter 2 of what he wanted Adam to not to do. Did he not? Did God say he couldn't touch the tree? No, Eve made that up. He could touch the tree, climb it, swing on it like Tarzan, naked. Adam, no clothes on, right? He can swing on it, he can do anything, but he can't eat that fruit. Satan said, for God doth know. In other words, there is a secret doctrine that God won't tell you, but I'm the real good guy. And in many religions around the world, the serpent is worshipped as a benevolent deity who will share the real wisdom of the cosmos that the Christian God will not tell them. Am I right?
Yes,
for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what?
God.
What are God? Angels. But in this case, not like Michael the archangel and Gabriel, like Lucifer, the serpent, the dragon, the one-third of the angels that are tossed out of heaven, or the angels that are cast into prison, and will come out, Revelation chapter 9, the fifth sounding of the fifth trumpet, and the bottom of the fifth is going to be released, and this horde of evil devils are going to be released upon the earth. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So he introduces this mystery doctrine, and that's the tares. Now, I have two pictures on the screen here. Can you see them? One of them is wheat. One of them is tares. The current word for tares is poison darnel. Anybody ever heard of that? Poison darnel. Because, and it looks like wheat. Can you tell which one is? I know which one is wheat. And if you've seen this before, I've switched pictures around. So, one of them is poison darnel. Here's what happens with poison darnel. Poison darnel looks just like wheat growing up. This is why Jesus told them, don't pick it now when it's green, because it looks like wheat. And really, how can we tell? Of all the churches in this town, how can we tell which ones are doing right, which ones are preaching right, which ones are not? Word. Okay? But it's hard to judge. So would you like to go into a church and judge everybody in that church on who's saved and who's not saved? No, it's not time yet. When's the time? The harvest. The harvest. At harvest, what happens? What happens to green apples at harvest? They turn red. What happens to just about any fruit? What happens to green tomatoes when they ripen? Harvest and the ripening season is a transformation. You get it? What's going to happen when the trump sounds and Christ appears in the air? Are we going to keep these bodies? No, we're going to ripen. We're all going to change, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because we're going to be made into His glorious image, the Bible said. Wow, that's great. Now, still, you can't tell which is poison darnel and which is... And by the way, the poison part is, on the darnel seed, a fungus grows. And anybody who ingests that seed with that fungus on it, number one, it's an intoxicant. It makes you crazy, headed, and it kills you. Think about it. It is serious. Death is serious. Eternal death is even more serious. So is it important that you get the right seed? Now let's do this.
Exactly.
Well, there are false Bibles out there.
Yes.
Paul said, for there are many that corrupt the word of God. Jude said to be watching out, to stand for the common faith, because people would come in unawares. When I went to Bible college, they gave me a Greek New Testament that was put out by the International Bible Society. What they didn't tell me was that at the time, it had gone through its 27th revision, meaning that they had changed the Greek New Testament that they were teaching me 27 times since 1880. It is now in the 28th revision, and they're working on the 29th revision, which means that every Bible that then is translated from this new 29th edition of the Greek text has to be changed because the Greek text has changed. And who's changing the text? A group of scholars, and since 1980, there has always been a Catholic Vatican priest on that committee. Is that okay with you?
No.
Well, the devil's slick, isn't he? Never saw him coming. And if you pick the wrong seed, what could happen? So, which Bible is right? Which one is wrong? So let me put this up on the screen. One Bible says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Is that right?
Yes.
The other one says, he looks like a son of the gods. Is that right?
No.
Every English Bible says a son of the gods, except the King James. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Every English Bible takes that verse out, except
the King James.
Acts 8:37, when the Ethiopian eunuch was asked, when he said, here's water, what doth hinder thee to be baptized? Acts 8:37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah. Every English Bible has taken that out except King James. And I could go on and on and on and on. And you're looking at a guy who 26, 27, 28, 29 years ago was on the other side of this issue. No man put me where I'm at now No video did, no book did. God dealt with me. And if I'm going to study prophecy, and I'm going to trust the book that I'm reading, I better know that everything in that sure word prophecy is really sure and right. Or else it poisons. By the way, now can you tell the difference between wheat and poison darnel? Isn't it something that the wheat turned the color of the sun? And the poison darnel turned black. Wow. Say wow backwards. Now, the secret. You're looking at it. You're looking at the secret of Freemasonry, but you don't know it. And when I say Freemasonry, I'm not just talking about Freemasonry. I'm talking about Rosicrucianism. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. I'm talking about Islam. My uncle, I love him. He was a World War II Pacific Jack Killen hero of America. 32-degree Shriner Mason. Shriner Masonry is full of Islamic imagery and philosophy. And he lived in Arkansas. He wasn't a Muslim. He was a member of a Baptist church. As are a lot of Masons. Okay? Except for mine. But notice the number. This is in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Notice the number of the lodge. Yeah, but see, that's only part of it. You're actually looking at the secret, but you don't know it, and they won't tell you. Even if you're a Mason, they won't tell you. Trust me on this. And I was traveling in Michigan, and I was actually doing seminars on this very subject, and I saw this billboard. I told the guy to drive me in, pull over, pull over. And the Masons up in Michigan had put a big billboard up that said, share the secret. So I'm going to. I'm going to tell you their secret, all right? Now, watch this. I have to teach you this first. I have to do it first. No, you're not. You're in the temple of God. Who believes that? Say amen. Is that just a metaphor? No, it's literal. In fact, I'm going to show you. If any man defile the temple, what defiles the temple? I'm a cigarette smoker. They're defiling the temple of God. People that eat bacon, they're defiling. Oh, they eat McDonald's food. They're using saccharin. They're defiling the temple. What did Jesus say defiles the temple? What goes out of a man, not what goes in. And what usually comes out of us comes out of right here. What did James say about our tongue? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? 2 Corinthians 6, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You're learning the secret. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Acts 17, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not where? In temples made with hands. Burn this church down, and you still have church. Because you are the church.
Amen.
Burn all the temples and churches and Catholic monasteries down everywhere across the world. There is still the church of God, because God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He makes his own temple, doesn't he? Amen. So here is a painting I did when I was traveling with Moses a few years ago in the Mount Sinai area, tabernacle. You have the curtain around the perimeters. I like what the guy said. There's only one way in. Amen. And then right there in the middle, you have the brazen altar that burnt the sacrifices. And then beyond that, you have the laver full of water. And then inside, you have the holy place, where you had the seven golden candlesticks and the table of showbread, and then you had the altar of incense, the prayers of God's people, and then behind that veil was the Ark of the Covenant, where the cloud, pillar of cloud, set by day, pillar of fire by night. Amen. God was with them every day, wasn't he?
Yes.
Watch this. This is the tabernacle. Every cell in your body is made like the wilderness tabernacle. The cell membrane around your cell is the curtain around the tabernacle area. The cell nucleus, wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. The mitochondria of your cell, when you guys just ate, right? Your liver's taking everything you ate, converting it to sugar, filling your bloodstream full of sugar. The sugar is being delivered to all the cells in your body. There are things in your cells called insulin receptors. They're like the priest standing at the doorway of the tabernacle, only accepting certain things in, right? And they only allow in sugar. Once the sugar goes into the cell, it's carried over to the mitochondria, which is the altar, and it's burnt for heat and light and energy for your body. This is why I'm sweating to death. Because I've got all this food and this sugar going into all my cells and it's heating my body up. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Aren't you the tabernacle? Every cell in your body is the tabernacle of God. Amen.
Yeah.
This is part of the secret. I'm getting there. Inside the nucleus is the most holy. Actually, the nucleus is the holy place. It's the sanctuary. And inside the nucleus is called the nucleolus. Now, it is the most holy place. And when Moses finished writing all the book of the law, what did he do? He rolled it up like a scroll and put it inside the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the most holy place. Your DNA is a book that God wrote of every member of your body. You roll it up like a scroll and you put it in the most holy place in every cell of your body.
Wow.
That's good stuff. Amen?
Amen.
Dinah, turn your Bible. You want to underline this in your Bible. You want to underline this and then draw your best picture of DNA that you can. 3,000 years ago, David said this. 3,000 years ago. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in, watch this, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance was fashioned, and as yet there was none of them. Now let me show you what that looks like. In thy book, all my members were written. So on the day or the night that you were conceived in your mother's womb, 23 chromosomes came from the father, 23 chromosomes came from the mother, and they joined together. And they wrote out a book called deoxyribonucleic acid. And in that book, they wrote out every member of your body. How many fingers you're going to have, how tall you were going to be, when you were going to hit adolescence, when you were going to hit puberty, when you were going to grow your hair, when you were going to lose that hair. Maybe what disease you might die from was also written in that book. Because in God's book, there are blessings and cursings, correct?
Yeah.
Okay? And so every member of your body was written down from the moment you were conceived. Now, when you were conceived, you didn't look like this guy here, 6'2" tall with a beard down to here. Like that. When your mother's womb, did you look like that? No. All you were was just a circle, a temple, the book of DNA written, which means that the book of DNA is a prophecy book. Because it wrote of things that were going to happen that hadn't happened yet. Amen? I'll teach you that word before I leave out of here. Now look at it like this. In thy book, DNA,
a family.
All my members were written. Right?
Yes.
Which in continuance was fashioned, so the embryo turns into a fetus, and the fetus, all fetuses practically look alike from every, like dogs and cats and everything, they all practically look alike for a while until they start getting older. When as yet, when you were just a circle in your mother's womb, there was none of them. David wrote about DNA 3,000 years before any scientist ever thought of it. It is amazing. So, simple things about DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. It's packaged in what they call chromosomes. They call it that because the little X-shaped things that where the DNA is stored were easily attracted to dye. That's how they could see them when they first started looking at microscopes. They would add dye, and the dye quickly got into there. Can you think of like Jesus, who's like the bow in the cloud, and these many colors? That's what I think of when I think of chromosomes. So you have 46 of them, 23 pairs. Every chromosome in your body looks like this. Except for, well, that's in women. In men, they have one that looks like this. It's called a Y chromosome. It's because men are always looking at women and going, why? That's bad. I'm going to go on. Remember that number. How many chromosomes? 46. How many chromosomes?
46.
Say one more time.
46.
When Moses built the tabernacle, God told him every board to put on it, didn't he? He put 20 boards down the north side, 20 boards down the south side, and 6 across the back. 46 boards holding the book of the law in the most holy place.
Wow. Wow.
Then Solomon, when he built his temple, he puts the Ark of the Covenant, the glory of God comes in, because the book of the law is in there, the rolled up scroll of God's law, God's word, everything that Israel, the members of his body, were going to be, or should have been, and he put two pillars in front, Jachin and Boaz, and Jachin was 23 cubits tall, and Boaz was 23 cubits tall. 46. Holding the book of the law that God wrote. Then the other temple, Herod's temple, the one that Jesus was in, right? And he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And they said, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building.
Oh my.
Do you know what the 46th book of the Bible is? It's 1 Corinthians, where you find out that your body is the temple.
What?
I put out a neat video. You aren't watching. Now watch this. I read dozens of Masonic books, Morals and Dogma, over 800 pages. Read every page of it because I thought, Bad Albert Pike, put the secret in there somewhere. So I read it. I wanted to know the secret of Masonry. And I read every page. And he didn't mind it. Some people tried to tell me, well, there's another version of it where you put the real secret. No, I don't believe you did. Because I went to the Masonic House of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. They let you go in there and see the big, where all the big high people in Washington, D.C., the devil worshippers go in that Masonic Lodge. You can go in there and do a tour. And they have a 12,000 volume library of old Masonic books. And I thought, man, there's no way. That's got to be behind a safe somewhere. They'll let anybody come in and read any book you want, because they know one thing. Nobody wrote the secret of Masonry. Nobody. Trust me, I've read books. I've gone back in history and read books that you've never heard of. This one, Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike called it the Grand Arcanum, which means the great secret. The secret whose revelation would overturn earth and heaven. It's that big. Let no one expect us to give them its explanation. He who passes behind the veil, behind the veil. What's behind the veil? The Ark of the Covenant, where the book, DNA is stored. He who passes behind the veil that hides this mystery understands that it is in its very nature inexplicable, and that it is death to those who win it by surprise, as well as to him who reveals it. I'm going to reveal it. He also said the truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportioned to their imperfect reason. So how would you like to belong to a fraternal organization where its leaders said, we are going to lie to you about everything? I mean, how would you like to come to this church tomorrow and Pastor Patton stand up here and say, I've been lying to you now for however long he's been here. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus Christ. His Bible is junk. Will you stay with him? Toss him!
Yeah, first.
Yeah. Let me move on. Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters astray. Anything I skip over is on the video, trust me. Manly Hall, if you want a good book to read, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Manly Hall was an occultist. Back around 1920, 1930, he lived, I think, up until the early 70s. But he had a library. Somebody gave him an endowment of millions of dollars, and he collected a massive volume of books on ancient secrets, ancient mystery religions, you name it, ancient gods, fables, every religion in the world, and he read probably most of them. And what he came to this conclusion was this, and he wrote it in The Secret Teachings of All Ages. He said, the book to which this is the introduction is dedicated to the proposition that concealed within the emblematic figures, allegories, and rituals of the ancients is a secret doctrine concerning the inner mysteries of life. Life is in the DNA, which doctrine has been preserved in total, remains totally, among a small band of initiated minds since the beginning of the world. Who believes that there are a group of people who know everything just about? But even them, even they, have been misled by Satan. They don't know what they think they know. Departing, these illumined philosophers left their formula that others too might attain to understanding. But lest these secret processes fall into uncultured hands and be perverted, the great arcana, which means great secret, was always concealed in symbol and allegory. Symbols. So I started studying symbols. The first time I saw a symbol on a book, it was on a New King James Bible, and it was the triquetra. You know what I'm talking about? It looked like three almond shapes pointing together. And Thomas Nelson, when they first started publishing the New King James, they would put that triquetra on there, which witches used as well. And they said that the triquetra is an ancient symbol symbolizing the unity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what Thomas Nelson said. But the book of Acts says that we ought not think that the Godhead can be graven with art and man's device. So if God says you cannot carve out or engrave a device or piece of art that represents the Godhead, and Thomas Nelson says, we have a symbol that represents the Godhead, who are you going to believe? God. Amen?
Amen.
So I started looking into symbolism at that point. Now, so I asked God, God, I've read all these Masonic books, where's the secret? And God said, Mike, I reveal all secrets. Jesus told us there's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. Right?
Right.
So I thought, that's the Bible. By the way, all my sins are written in there.
Yeah. All of them.
And I'm not going to tell you where to look. Notice this, that thy brother, or the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is then as thine own soul, entice thee secretly. Like secret societies, mystery religions, saying, let us go and serve other what? Gods. Devils. Okay? And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord your God. And by the way, that's where you do your sin. Job 13, he surely will recruit you if you do secretly accept person. Do Masons band together and accept people who are other Masons and go into court and get things done in court that are illegal? I know for a fact they do. They are a band of brothers that no matter what you did, they will work out a square deal for you. I saw a guy walk into a courtroom. He was a lawyer, and he wasn't from our county, so he had his little square and compass lapel pin on his jacket to let the judge know this is who I am. I have other stories to tell you. I don't have time. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking where? Where does the lions lurk? This is part of it. Now, the spirit of mystery, this is why I call it the mother of all secrets. As there is a spirit that dwells in this world, and yea, dwells in us, that reveals the deep and secret things of God called the Holy Spirit. Read John 14, John 15, John 16. Jesus speaks of the Comforter, and he says he will reveal unto you all things.
Yeah.
So when you read your Bible, guess who's there with you?
Yeah.
The author of it, explaining it to you, showing you things you've never, showing you great and mighty things that thou knowest not.
Yeah.
Amen? Then there's the opposite of him, because the Holy Spirit is not a woman. God is not half man, half woman either.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You'd be surprised
at who's believing that now.
Yeah. Androgynous God, part male, part female, saying that God made Adam part male and part female, an androgynous being. That's a lie. That is not what the Bible says. So there's an opposite spirit to the Holy Spirit. It's a her. And she can be seen all through the Bible. If you read the book of Proverbs, I've explained it to people a while ago. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see two women in the book of Proverbs. A virtuous woman who is full of wisdom. She is the church. Amen? And it's wisdom. She had built her seven pillars. What are the seven pillars? They're the seven spirits of God. Amen? Then there's another woman in the book of Proverbs. Strange. Strange means she's not part of us and shouldn't be part of us. She's not from here. She's not from around here. She's not like us. She's from someplace else. And strange, the strange woman is a harlot. She's the one who lures young men in dark and secret places. And her steps lead down to hell. So that's Mystery Babylon. And these women are played by different women in the Bible. So if I mention, let's say, Mary, the mother of Jesus, would you say strange woman or virtuous woman?
Virtuous woman.
See how easy that is? She's the mother of Christ. She was a virgin. The old virgin shall conceive. If I said Sarah, would you say strange woman or virtuous woman?
Virtuous woman.
Virtuous woman. Okay, by faith. Her and Abraham by faith. If I mentioned Delilah.
That's a woman.
See, that name even lures you in. What's your name, man?
Me.
She's not you now. Okay? She's a strange woman. And what did she do? Cut off the seven locks. You know what those seven locks of Samson were? Remember Jesus in Revelation 5 is seen as the Lamb with seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God. Those seven locks were representative of the seven spirits of God. That's where our strength comes from. Well, she cut them off. And now he had no power. Are the churches all over Indiana, Missouri, Arkansas, United States, everywhere, have no power from God because Delilah has shaved off seven locks, seven spirits of God.
That's good.
Mystery. Look at her first name. You want to do something fun? You get a concordance, or we have software. A lady wrote Bible software for our ministry. It's at purebiblesearch.org or .com. One of the two. purebiblesearch.com.org. One of the two.
Yeah.
Download it for free. Linux, Windows, Mac. We've had that downloaded even into countries where they're not allowed to have Bibles. We're smuggling Bibles in countries because of it. And it's a search engine for the King James Bible. Look up the word mystery. You'll find it in the Bible 22 times. 22 is the number for Revelation. How many chapters does the book of Revelation have? Okay? And you know what you'll find every time you find the word mystery? Every time you see the word mystery, Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. Beloved, be not ignorant of this mystery." Jesus told his disciples, "Behold, it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Every time you see the word mystery, a mystery is revealed to you through the pages of the scriptures. Wow! So even the mystery of iniquity, which all doth already work, is revealed in the pages of the scriptures. Find it. Amen? Well, Proverbs 5:6, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable." Remember I told you about the 29th revision of the Greek text? You know how many different revisions, major revisions of the NIV there's been since 1973? Five. Two major revisions of the New American Standard. One in 1995, one in 2020. And now, John MacArthur has got a license from whoever owns the New American Standard to change the New American Standard how he wants it to be. Now, so instead of Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, it's Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Yes. So do you want a Bible that changes every 5 years?
No.
Now, even Masons say there are secrets in the Bible. This book was written in 1866, the Bible, which is full of Masonic secrets to the initiated. This book here, Freemasonry in the Holy Land. The Holy Scriptures are the instruction books of the Lodge. Pike's Morals and Dogma. For the master, the compass of faith is above the square of reason, but rest upon the Holy Scriptures and combine to form the blazing star of truth. I won't read this. This is too long. Even when you go into a Masonic lodge, what are you going to find in there? This is in the house of the Temple Lodge in Washington, D.C. There's a big King James Bible right on their altar. That's because that's where their secret is written. So I said, and Jesus, remember how Masons would get together and they'll utter a secret word to each other in their ear and they'll go, "Now," something like that. You know what Jesus said? What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Do we have any secret doctrines that we can't tell lost people?
No.
We're supposed to tell them everything. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at this. You're looking at the secret. You don't know it, but you're looking at it. The J and the B does not stand for Jim Beam. Sorry to say something. Notice the opposites up here. You have Potter and Mater. That's father and mother. Over one column, there's the image of the sun. Over one column, there's an image of the moon. Those are opposites. On one column, you have a triangle pointing up. Another column, you have a triangle pointing down. You have written up the top, superius. That means superior. Down below, inferius. Inferior. Notice the opposites. Mm-hmm. Night and day. Good and evil. Yin and yang. They're opposites that are used together. So you're looking at the secret. So now, remember the pillars, Jacob and Boaz, 26 cubits tall apiece, 46. So that tells you that the secret of masonry has something to do with man's man. We're living in an age now, now that they know how to read DNA, what are they doing now? Rewriting. Is that a temple made with hands once that's done? In this picture, you have a winding staircase. The winding staircase was in Solomon's temple, and I think it represented the winding of DNA. In the Masonic Lodge in Washington, D.C. that I mentioned to you, I count things. I'm like a monk. I just count everything. And I see these two winding staircases going up to the lodge room. So I'm walking up them. I get to the top. There's 23 steps on each side. 46. This was built in the 30s. Let me go back to this. Notice on one pillar, there is a globe of the earth. And on the other pillar, there's a globe of the stars of the heavens. What are stars? When the Antichrist comes, where is he going to sit? Say it the way the scripture says it. The temple of... What did we learn like four or five times from the book of 1 Corinthians? What is the temple of God? Actually, you're saying they're not going to build a temple or something?
Uh-huh.
They will. But how can you really rule over all mankind? How does God rule in you? He sits in the temple, doesn't he? And rules from your heart. That's the throne of God. A heart is the throne of God. I got to do this. Can I have 10 minutes? The heart is the throne of God. The four chambers of the heart are the four living creatures, or the four beasts that John saw in the Ezekiel's heart, the four angels. The heart in Revelation 4, the throne was surrounded by a sea of glass. The heart is surrounded by a sack of water called the prayer of heart. And then John heard thunderings, lightnings, and voices. Your voice box is here. The thundering and lightning is the electricity that makes the heart sound like thunder. Then he saw the candlestick, the seven spirits of God, and the seven candles. If you take your lungs, your brachial tree, and turn it upside down, it looks like an almond tree, and it has seven branches of wood. Exactly. And both lungs, they represent the Old and the New Testament. Out of which God breathes to somebody. Then John said, I saw 24 elders surrounding God. 12 ribs on this side and 12 on this side to surround the throne of God. In my body. I taught this in Kenya and they
Amen.
They're shouting.
Amen.
Maybe they got something y'all ain't got.
Amen.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
We are the temple of God. There's no mistaking it.
Amen.
Okay? Mason rebuilds his temples where? In the heart of man. Because masonry is all about rebuilding Solomon's temple with the two pillars where the secret of masonry is located. So, I got to get to this and I'll quit. I said, God, where is the secret? In the Bible, I know it's in here. Please show it to me. I prayed that for 2 years. Aggravated at God, he won't show me. One day God said, you want to know the secret? I said, yes! So he said, look up the word secret things belong unto the Lord. Amen. My substance was not hid from me when I was made in secret. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret. What is the secret? Why did they pollute? What did Manasseh pollute and put in an idol? Temple of God. Yeah. Polluted the secret place, didn't he? Secret place. In the heart. For the robber shall enter into it. Who's the robber? Satan. And defile it. Look at that. So there's the tabernacle with the secret place of the most holy place in it. Here's every cell in your body. A copy of the DNA book that God wrote. Cursed be the man, I'm almost done. Cursed be the man that made any graven or molten image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. You know what God said to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 14? Write this down, look it up. God said, the men of Israel have come to me and they want me to speak to them, but I will not speak to them because of the abundance of idols that they have hidden in their heart. God said, I'm not going to talk to them. So now, Daniel is where I landed. Daniel discovered the secret. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. In a night vision, then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And when I saw this, I did too. Because I knew where it was going. Daniel said that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Daniel 2:43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. What are we made of? They, fourth kingdom, it's a power, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I believe with all my heart is the 14th. Because we can't beat spirits. We can't outrule them. We can't outrun them. We can't shoot them. If a man stands up and says, I'm the new God of this world, we can shoot him and kill him. But if a God stands up before man, kill him. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now watch this. That's the secret. Because the compass is pointing down to the earth, and it represents the woman, the female. The square is pointing down. The compass is pointing up to the heavens, and it represents the male principle. This is how it's taught in all of those books I read, which produces something in the middle. It produces a child. So, Pike said, the square, therefore, is a natural and appropriate symbol of this earth. The compass is an equally natural and appropriate symbol of the heavens. The compass is the hermetic symbol of the creative deity, male, and the square, the productive earth or universe, the female. Genesis 6. The sons of God and who? That's the secret. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Amen? So, this is where I'm going to bring the aliens into it. Because that's part of it. Because they're all devils. Amen?
Amen.
It's not Mark and the Martian going, you're in my way, I'm going to destroy you. Okay? That's not him. These are devils.
Yep.
Even the Gnostics called them the Archons and said that they look like human embryos with big heads and little bodies. And the word Archon is the Greek word for the word principalities in Ephesians chapter 6. See it?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
What are they doing? This guy said that the angels told him, we're here to merge, to blend with your human egos, to help your race become the central guidance system of a vast new being, capitalized. John Mack, Harvard psychiatrist, almost lost his job at Harvard because he started dealing with abductees. And he took them seriously. He said, these people are not crazy. Something's happening to them. And here's what he wrote. Over 100 cases he dealt with, and he said they all said the same thing. That the aliens were interested in creating a hybrid.
Yeah.
He said a new form of life must evolve if the human biological and spiritual essence is to be preserved. It is difficult to ignore the fact that the UFO abduction phenomenon is taking place in the context of a planetary crisis of major proportions, because he believes in global warming or whatever. Abductions seem to be concerned primarily with two related projects. Changing human consciousness to prevent the destruction of the Earth's life. That's Mystery Babylon. That's Gaia. Yeah. And the joining of two species for the creation of a new evolutionary form. Now let's go back to that Temple of God thing, and I'll shut up. If God made us and wrote us out, by the way, every member, Pastor Patton, of this church is written in God's book, is it not?
Amen.
In thy book, all my members were written. Every one of us are written in the book of life. Say amen. Amen. And the book of life is this one. Yes. You have the words of eternal life, Peter said. They're the same book. So, why get it some? So, what was I saying? the temple, yeah. If God created us to be the temple of God, to be his holy dwelling place, he wrote it out in a book, and so that everything about us would happen exactly the way God wanted, just like he wrote in this book how he wanted everything to happen exactly how he wanted it. And if God doesn't dwell in temples made with human hands, on the day that we become the hybrids, are we any longer, is mankind any longer the temple of God?
No.
He doesn't qualify us.
because it was made for.
Love in heaven is deep, deeper than the ocean.
Yeah.
Deep as the bottomless pit, as high as heaven's Father. Father, I know I've given a lot of things for people to think about. Father, I'm not right on everything. I can't be. Man, you be true and every man alive. So all praise, Father, and anything I said that was right, all praise goes to you. Father, instruct us in the days that we're living right now, that this Bible is still right, it's still holy, it's still perfect. Father, Lord, if there was ever a time when we needed guidance from you written down in a book, it's now.
Amen.
Father, bless this church for holding on to the old book. Bless all of those, Father, whose minds have been challenged now to seek you out in truth, in mercy, and humility. Father, bless your word. We pray in Jesus' name. All God's people said,
amen. Amen.
God bless you. We're going to my wife,
that's just awesome.